Good. Wow. You all ready to hear a bit of a talk now?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good, because I've got sort of something planned. So that's nice. We are carrying on looking at the Holy Spirit, and I have a bit of a confession to make. I advertised this week thinking this is what it was going to be on, tongues and prophecy. As I started writing it, I realised I do not have time to do both. So I'm going to do tongues this week, okay? And do a bit on prophecy, maybe some of the other gifts next week. Is that okay? Hey guys, coming, great to see you. You've just missed everyone dancing, so you probably feel like you've dodged a bullet there, but that's all right. So great stuff. So is that okay? So we're going to just be looking at tongues tonight, and we'll look a bit more at prophecy a bit later on. So, with some people around you, got a few things for you just to discuss, okay? Because you, hopefully you'll all know what it is. If you don't know what it is, well, you'll know what it is by the end of it. But what is speaking in tongues? Discuss it with the person next to you. Why do you think it happens? Do you even think it's real? Do you think it's just people making it up? How does it happen? Go for it. You don't have to answer it in that order. You can start on any question you like, but go for it. Discuss it. Do you reckon another minute, 30 seconds? How are we doing? Are we about there? Are we about there? All right, just before we come round with the mic, just something I've remembered actually. The Toilet of Truth here was actually made by Liz Turner's son, Paul, who pretty much none of you will know apart from the relations, for an art project, wasn't it, I think? And it's been in church for a long time, and I found it in my office and thought, I can't throw that out. And now it has a purpose. Alex is just going to go round with the mic. You can answer any question you like. What was being said in your sort of groups? Go for it. Just choose some people, Alex. Actually, you have to pass them the mic or they won't do anything. Come on, someone take the mic off, Alex. That's it.
We discussed it. We thought speaking in tongues was kind of just letting the Holy Spirit like talk through you. So it's not necessarily a language that you know. It may not even be a language. It's just, and have a couple people here who speak in their tongues, and they said it feels very natural. It doesn't feel forced. It just kind of works.
Okay. Anyone else want to say anything from there? Just pass it on. Yeah. Great.
Isn't there like two different types? You've got the prayer language and then the like language for the congregation, and then like if it's in the congregation, someone has to interpret it, otherwise good. It's useless.
Good stuff. We're coming to that. Fantastic. Just pass it to someone. Let them say something.
It can actually happen to anyone to get the gift of tongues. It doesn't matter like what age or who they are. Just need to believe in God and have the Holy Spirit.
Okay, great. Pass it on. Keep passing it on.
So yeah, we had the idea of like the Holy Spirit is, so it's very much the Holy Spirit acting through you, so you don't really know what you're saying, you just know that it's like of God, and so it's, you know, so when you're praying with tongues, you know that it's really something that is a good thing to be praying.
Okay. Oh, I went past you once, Tim.
It's not always in one specific language, so it's not always in the language of angels, but sometimes it's in like ancient languages, so as people can speak in ancient Persian, I believe, okay, along with some other ones, so it's not a specific thing, it's individual to everyone.
Very good. Okay, I think that's probably everybody who wants to say something. Thank you. Great. Now, the subject of speaking in tongues, you can skip on one, thanks, Nick. It's a bit of a gross picture, I know, but it's not my tongue. It's not a tongue selfie or anything like that. There is actually quite a lot of debate and disagreement about the gift of tongues within the church. And that probably will be the case, actually, because, you know, people come to different opinions about it. So I'll sort of share a little bit about my opinion and what I think the Bible says about it. But just to warn you, really, as you get older, maybe go off to university, go to other churches, it's not guaranteed that the church you end up going to will have the same outlook or opinion on the gift of tongues as you may hold. They may well do. So just to say that, there is a whole variation. And it's a topic which gets people quite fired up, I think. I'm just going to put a passage on the screen for you. Well, the main real places to look at when we're looking at particularly the gifts of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, there's obviously Acts 2 and Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit come. We've looked at that last week and briefly, I think, the week before. And this is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 are really all talking about the gift of the Spirit and how that works within the church context as well. Here's some things. I'll just read some of this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is Paul writing to a church in Corinth. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and particularly as we're focusing on tongues tonight, it's worth remembering that it is God who is at work here. That is the purpose of it. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That's really important as well. When it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, they are always to be used for the good of the church, his people. So whether that's prophecy, whether that's words of knowledge, whether that's service, administration, or whatever it might be, it's for the common good of the community of the believers. That's the purpose of it. Now, the gift of tongues is similar but slightly different, and we'll come to that in a moment, and picking up particularly on what Agnes said. To one there is given to the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So the gifts of the Spirit are from God. It's God at work. It's for good and always for the good of the church. But when it comes to tongues, as I said, its purpose is slightly different. Now, there are some churches, particularly the Pentecostal church, who would say that unless you speak in tongues, then you haven't really been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you haven't really been saved. That's quite a strong line which some Christians will take. Unless you can speak in tongues, then actually you haven't really accepted Jesus in your life, because the Holy Spirit isn't in you if you're not speaking in tongues. Next slide, please, Nick. No, the one before that, yeah, sorry. Tongues is not a sign of salvation. I do not believe at all that if you do not speak in tongues, then you are not a Christian. That is, I do not see that in the Bible at all. The moment you say that you want to become a Christian and you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And there are plenty of people I know who are totally immersed and full of the Holy Spirit who do not speak in tongues. Now, there are three forms of tongues, which two of them Agnes pointed out for us. Now, the first one is earthly languages. At Pentecost, we read that when the Spirit came, they all started speaking in different languages, in different tongues. And actually, the text suggests that some of the languages that they are speaking in are being understood by the people who are not in the room where it's happening. So therefore, this is a language which, from different parts of the world, which they would have, people obviously knew. Touching a bit on what you said about ancient languages, but these were languages which people speak. And I think God still does this today. People will often give people a tongue, that they might be praying for someone, or it might even be a public tongue which is said in a particular dialect or language from somewhere else in the world. One of the things that is quite good to do, if you're ever up the front leading a service and someone gives a tongue publicly, is to actually ask, does anybody speak that language? Because it might be that there's someone here who can interpret it because it's their own native language. I've told this story a million times, but it's always worth telling again. So Catherine Dunn is a person who used to come to this church. She actually did Infusion with me for a year as well. She's now training to be a vicar somewhere. Well, not a vicar, just a pastor. Is it vicar? Yeah. And great girl. But years ago, before I came to Purley, the youth group did a little mission trip to France. There was like a handful of them who went over to France. And they were working with some other young people over there. You know, the youth group met up. They had a worship event. And during the worship event, Catherine, this lad said, in sort of English, could Catherine pray for her? So she said, yeah, it's fine. And as she started to pray in tongues for this lad. didn't ask anything else, just started to pray for him. At the end of the prayer, the guy who was French turned to her and said, how did you know all of that stuff that was going on in my life? And she said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. And he said, well, you just prayed in fluent French. How did you know all that stuff? And she had no idea. She was just praying in tongues, but actually her tongues turned into French, and she was praying for this guy. Some years ago, I did a little pre-mission trip with Pam Bryan to see if we could set up a mission at this place in France. And I went to this prayer meeting, and there were loads of these people praying in such fast French. I mean, I don't speak much French anyway. I had, for like 3 hours, this prayer meeting, I understood nothing. But I couldn't get that story out of my head about Catherine. I kept thinking, Lord, when I opened my mouth, please, would you let French come out? And I started to pray, and it was English, and then I'd sort of think, okay, I'll try again a bit later. And a bit later, I quietly started praying in tongues, trying to listen. And I'm like, damn it, it's still not French. And it didn't happen for me. But it was great. Pat Brown also actually told me a story of a missionary she knew. She used to work in a missionary college. And this woman had been called to be a missionary. I can't remember which country, but it's a country which spoke Portuguese. And she didn't speak a word of Portuguese. But she felt the Lord say, you need to go. And she felt it was like, you know, get packing and go. And so she had like a week to get ready. And the day before she went, she had some people praying for her. And after they finished praying, she suddenly could just speak fluent Portuguese. It just started coming out of her mouth. And she understood what she was saying. And it was like somehow the Spirit of God had deposited in her the ability to speak another language. That's amazing, isn't it? And I think that's one of the forms that the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues takes to enable us in certain situations perhaps to speak a specific native language of another country. But then we come on to the ones which cause a bit more controversy, I suppose, and that there's mixed opinion about in the church. First of all, the next one is a public message. So this is particularly in the context of worship or congregation gathering. It might be a generator night. And during the meeting, at an appropriate moment, somebody suddenly begins to shout out a loud tongue, and by that a language which is not anything anybody understands. It's blah, 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 whatever it might be, just pouring out their mouth so that everybody can hear. And when this happens, as Agnes rightly so, it's really at that point, once that's finished, to wait and say, well, does anybody have an interpretation of what has just been said? And that is where it becomes a bit difficult, really, because there's much about... I think it's a practice where we don't see it that much in our churches. It has happened here. Some years ago in an evening service, obviously there used to be an organ here, but there was a man sitting just here. I didn't know who he was. I think it was like the first or second time he'd been to the service, and I don't actually remember seeing him after that. And we're worshipping, and the worship sort of stops. And suddenly this man stands up and boom, he starts shouting out this tongue. And I was leading the service thinking, oh boy. Right. So he gave his tongue and I said, well, we're going to wait now until there's an interpretation. And we waited. And then someone came forward and said, I've got this Bible verse. And I said, that's not the interpretation. You can read it. So they read the Bible verse. And we waited a bit more and someone else came out and shared something. But I was like, that doesn't feel like the interpretation. And then a young person came out called Becky Caesar. Anyone of you know the name? No, she used to come to Generator anyway. Becky Caesar came out And she was only like, I don't know, 16, 17. And she started to speak. And I was like, that's the interpretation. Just felt something in me, felt that right. And what she was saying then was a message for the whole church to hear. When I was 15, I was at a meeting with hundreds of people, maybe even 500 in this one room. And this guy, I was sitting quite near the back, and this person right at the very front stands up in the meeting and starts shouting this big tongue out, and everyone could hear it. I could hear it at the back. They then said, well, we're going to wait for an interpretation. As soon as the guy had finished, a man who was sitting directly behind me stands up and starts speaking in English an interpretation of this tongue. That in itself was pretty amazing. What was more amazing is when I got back to my accommodation, there were lots of meetings happening in this town at the same time. And the same tongue with the same interpretation had been given at five different venues. That's that area. That is amazing, isn't it? Those of you who went to Callity Wood earlier on this year, Matt, who was our speaker, he was on a youth camp, and somebody in the worship at a choir point stood up and shared this tongue, and he was leading it through at this particular session, and he again said, has anyone got an interpretation? And they sat in silence for about an hour. Matt said he had the rest of the leaders kept looking at him, like, what are you doing? And he was like, I can't just leave this. Someone's given a tongue. And after an hour, this young person just stands up, is shaking, and then just suddenly, all of this stuff comes out. And that was like, this is the interpretation. And other people had shared some things, but again, it wasn't really what God was saying in terms of that tongue. This is it's a hard thing, isn't it? Because when people give these public tongues, it's God wanting to give a message publicly and show it in quite a miraculous way. I think it's, in one sense, it's God saying you need to hear this, so you're going to hear it my way, then you're going to hear it in your language. Here's what Paul says about it. Can I have the next slide? Sorry, that's a bit small, but this is one thing. He says, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else, who is now put in the position of an inquirer, say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. You see, the whole point of what was going on in this particular church in Corinth, Paul had a tough time with this church. They were getting things a bit wrong. One of the things that they were doing is the Christians in this church were having almost like a bit of a competition. It was a bit of, hey, look at me, look how good I was. And the people who could speak in tongues in their meetings were shouting out tongues all the time, in a sense, to try and show, hey, look how holy I am. Look how amazing I am. I'm better than you because I can speak in tongues. And Paul was addressing this, and he's saying, actually, when you're speaking in tongues like that, it's absolutely useless if no one understands what you're talking about, because it does not edify, which means to encourage and to build up. It does not encourage the church in any way if you're all speaking tongues, which is why he says it's really important, if someone speaks a tongue, that somebody else will interpret that tongue. Do we get that? Now, by a public tongue, that means shouting it out. That doesn't mean, as sometimes we've done, some of us who might speak in tongues in worship, where it might just be we're quietly doing it, or it's part of the same sort of worship. That's very different to an actual public thing that everyone can hear. Paul also says this. in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. See, Paul was quite stern about the gift of tongues. He also says in somewhere, I thank God that I can speak tongues. He even says, I speak tongues more than you lot do. But actually, he's saying in a place of worship, he would rather that the people understood what is being said than someone babbling 10,000 words in tongues. So you can see, even from Paul's writings and letters to the Corinthian church, that one, although he is encouraging tongues, that you can understand why it's quite hard to understand how that works in the place of worship. Because Paul was wanting it to be helpful, to be edifying the church, to be encouraging the church, to be lifting them up. And in Corinth, that wasn't happening because there was this one-upmanship going on all the time about, oh, I've got the gift of tongues, aren't I fantastic? But then we come on to personal tongues. What did I call it? Yeah, personal. And this is really where God gives us a spiritual language for our personal use. That it's not for public to hear. It's for our own private, in a sense, prayer life with God. And again, this is really where the controversies start. Because there will be some people who say, well, I don't have it. And others who say they do. But we'll come to that in just a moment. The personal gift of tongues is, there's a few reasons why I think this happens. First of all, it's a sort of a personal heavenly prayer language. You could argue it's the angelic language. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if I speak of tongues of men or of angels. Well, maybe tongues is the language of heaven. But obviously, the tongues that I've heard people speaking, you know, are not really the same as the tongues as I speak. So maybe there's a whole load of different languages of the angels, I don't know. But it's one thing it is, it's like a personal prayer thing. Now, you could count that and say, well, why don't I just speak to God in English? Does that mean that God hears the tongues more than he hears English? Well, I don't think so. I think if God gives us a gift of tongues, he wants us to use it perhaps in a specific way to kind of develop it. He also says it's a gift to edify the person. This is where it's slightly different to all the other gifts, because all the other gifts are for the good of the church, where the gift of tongues, if it's a public one in interpretation, is for the good of the church, but if it's just personally using it, that's not really for the good of the church. It's for your own personal edification. It helps us to pray when we don't know what to say. There's been loads of times for me where I have been praying for someone about a terrible situation, and it's just got to the point where I thought, I've got no words. I've got nothing I can pray into this situation, because one, I do not understand what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they're going through. I can empathise with them, but it's too much. And so praying in tongues is quite helpful at that moment, because it allows me to pray to God and, you know, to minister in that way, even if it's hard to pray. It's a reminder of the Holy Spirit's presence in us and around us. But is it for all people? Earlier on we read that bit where some of the gifts of the Spirit, and it says that God gives the gifts as he determines. So there's an argument to say amongst Christians that would say, well, God has not given me the gift of tongues. He might have given me the gift of something else, might give me several other gifts, but the gift of tongues I don't possess. And, you know, that's one debate. Some people would say, well, actually, the gift of tongues is available for all, because why would God want to give a personal language to one and not to everybody? Our own senior minister, Peter Noddy, holds that opinion as well, because he just can't get why would God give him a language and not somebody else. He is, in his own words, he does not deserve a language any more than anyone else does. Peter's story was that he wanted to speak in tongues, and he went to his bedroom, he knelt on the floor, and he prayed this prayer. He said, God, I am not getting off my knees until I start speaking in tongues. And he just knelt there until it happened. I don't know how long he was kneeling there for. And he said eventually these words just began to come out of his mouth. There's some people who would say, Christians, who would say actually these gifts stopped when the apostles died. And at that point, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were no longer around today. I don't hold that view. I've seen too much for that to not be the case. Last few things. Does not speaking in tongues make me less spiritual or not good enough? Well, the answer is a big fat no, of course it doesn't. Bible says this, again, Paul, 1 Corinthians 12. I'll just read it from halfway down, but he mentions the different gifts, and he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, now equally desire the greater gifts. It implies that actually, well, not all of the gifts are for all of the people. God determines what gifts he wants to give different people. And I think there's some truth in that. It certainly doesn't make you any less spiritual, or, you know, not being able to speak in tongues does not make you any less loved or any less spiritual at all. But if you desire it, then I think it's okay to ask God for it. I'm going to close really with my personal experience of it. I've struggled a bit personally with using the gift of tongues from the moment I found out about it as a Christian. They never taught about it in my church, and I never heard anyone speaking in tongues at my church. It was only as I went to Christian things that I came across this thing and thought, what is this all about? The night, I think I shared, the night I was felt God telling me that I had to go and study the Bible was the night where I laughed in the spirit, but it was also the first time I ever spoke in tongues. I wasn't asking God to, I was just responding. I'd been crying, I had been laughing, and then suddenly my mouth just started moving and I was praising God in English, and soon I couldn't control what my tongue was doing as I was producing these other words and I started to speak in tongues. I left there and went home and I didn't carry on speaking in tongues because I didn't know how to. No one ever taught me. All I knew is I'd done it once. And in my thinking, I just thought, well, God just did it for that moment. But it was a bit later where someone said, well, if you've done it once, then maybe God has implanted that in you to do it again. And so I tried to just keep on speaking in the tongue. I tried to produce the words, and I'll be honest, it didn't feel that natural. It didn't feel like it just came out. Sometimes I thought, am I making this up? In fact, quite a lot of the time, I used to think, am I just making this up? Occasionally, I would hear words that I think I recognize that word. Or am I just making it up? I felt this for years. I continued to use it and to pray in tongues, and I remember praying for somebody once, and they were like, wow, your tongue sounds Middle Eastern. And I was thinking, okay, I quite like the sound of that, that's pretty cool. As long as God is not calling me to the Middle East, no. But it was, you know, okay, fair enough. And I carried on using it, and a few years ago, having heard Peter share a similar story, I went and sat in Peter's office one time, Nodding's office, and I said, Peter, for my whole Christian life since I started speaking in tongues, I have questioned whether it really was tongues and whether I've just been making it up. I had been using it, but I still doubt whether it's me or whether it's God. So can I speak in tongues in front of you, and you can tell me whether I'm making it up or not? And I was like, be honest, if this is a load of rubbish, can you just say, Mark, I don't think you've got the gift of tongues, and I will be fine. At least I won't do it. So I started to pray in tongues, and Peter had to say, you're going to have to speak a bit louder, because I was like under my breath, so I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest. And so he said, look, yeah, you need to speak a bit louder because I can't hear you. So I was like, okay, so I started to speak louder, and after about a minute he went, you can stop. And he said, I personally think that sounds like a tongue. Now Peter may not have known, but that helped me be a little bit more assured in my speaking of tongues. And to be honest, I could start speaking tongues now to you, but it feels more natural for me when I'm either praying for somebody or I'm on my own. To do it like this, I would not want to do that in front of you. But a few other things, more often than not, well actually I think all the time, I do not know what I am praying. I can think stuff while I'm praying in tongues, but what's coming out, I do not understand. There's other people though, I've known of someone who, when they were speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, they would hear names of their friends in the middle of it, and they'd think, I'm praying for my friends right now. But they'd be, blah, 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 Tim, blah, 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 Isaac, blah, 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 yeah, and they were like, they only told me that because I was praying in tongues the other day and your name was said Mark. And I was like, oh, wow, great, you know, thank you. But so perhaps some people can pick out different words. We're going to pray in a moment. But so that's my experience of tongues has been a right up and down this. And the thing is, I think there are times where I know it's God now because it's so like, you know. Like sometimes I can't even move my tongue quick enough because it's coming out. There's other times where I just know it's God doing it.